Have you been sold out by family, falsely accused at work, or forgotten by friends? Today, walk with Joseph from the pit to the palace and discover how God can turn every injustice into good. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Couple announcements before we get started today. First and foremost, if you are enjoying these daily devotions and this series called I Am Convinced, I want to encourage you to like, share, subscribe, and comment. It really does help us out in those algorithms. Also, if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. That's a good way to grow spiritually with those that you're huddling up with, that you're making a plan to take and to move forward in the public square. Finally, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. Your $5, $10, $20, whatever it is a month really does help us move the ball forward. What's our mission? To defend and advance biblical values in the public square. What's our goal? To change our hearts so that we change our policies, our leadership, and ultimately change our culture. So let's dive into Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So the first thing that we know about God is that he causes all things to work together for good. Isn't that awesome? Like, no matter what circumstances you're going through, or no matter what pressures or frustrations you're facing today, God is working on those for your good, for his good, for the community's good, for the common good. He's working on those. Now, this does have two qualifiers: to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So you got to evaluate, do I love God, and have I been called by grace through faith to his purpose? And so I hope the answer is yes today. So we're going to use the story of Joseph from the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 37 and look at this story to help us see some injustices in Joseph's life and see how God turned it around for Joseph's good. All right. So innocent Joseph had his father's favor, and his father gave him a coat and or a cloak, and he wore it. It was a very beautiful coat, and he wore it with a lot of pride, and he was loved by his father. This, in turn, made his brothers bitter, and so bitter brothers hated him because of the favor that he received from his father. So eventually, innocent Joseph had a dream, and in this dream, his brothers bowed before him. And Joseph went out to go tell his brothers about this, and they did not like the dream. They didn't like the very fact that he was favored by his fathers, and they didn't like the fact that he told him that they were going to bow down to him. So they threw him into a pit, and then while they threw him in the pit, they were contemplating and discussing or debating, do we kill him or what do we do? And so in that pit, before they threw him in, they took away that coat, that symbol of his favor from his father. So at some point, they decide, hey, we don't want his blood on our hands. We won't kill him. What we're going to do is we're going to sell him into slavery, into bondage. And some passerbys started moving around them, and so they sold him into slavery. They took some blood and put it on that coat and went back to their father and said, hey, look, your son Joseph is dead. So they faked his death. But Joseph was sold into slavery. So what we're going to see about this circumstances is Joseph's family sold him out, right? Sold him into slavery, like quite literally sold him into slavery. So he's working for an employer named Potiphar, and Potiphar thought that Joseph was very handsome. And so Joseph's next injustice is that Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of adultery. Now, if you know this story, Joseph is in the bedroom cleaning or doing whatever, and Potiphar's wife comes in, and he and tries to have her way with him, but he flees, leaving his robe behind, and his outer robe behind. And so she uses that as evidence to say that he tries to rape her. So now his family has sold him out. His employer, in essence, falsely accuses him. And so then Joseph is incarcerated. So this is a false incarceration based on false claims. And so he ends up having some favor with the chief prison guard. And in this favor, the guard entrusts him with more responsibilities. Well, eventually, Pharaoh's cupbearer comes in and has a dream, and Joseph interprets that dream in Genesis chapter 40. And a baker, Pharaoh's baker comes in, and Joseph interprets that dream. And so Joseph's only plead to the cupbearer and the baker is that if they ever go back to Potiphar, or back to Pharaoh, that they remember him. So this is another injustice. They go back, but they forgot Joseph. So Joseph is incarcerated for a couple years, and then Pharaoh has a dream, and the cupbearer remembers, oh yeah, I had this friend who was in prison with me who could interpret dreams. And so in essence, here's Joseph's first break, and he comes and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. This is Genesis chapter 41. So eventually, Pharaoh makes Joseph a ruler over Egypt, like second in command. And so you would say, this looks like a great opportunity where God took being sold out by his family, falsely incarcerated, friends have forgotten him, falsely accused of rape, and all of a sudden he's ruler over Egypt, second in command, and you're saying, man, this was good. But actually, God is going to do even greater things through Joseph. So eventually there's a famine in the land. Joseph had foresaw this and prepared Egypt to walk through that famine. And so Joseph's family up in the Canaan area comes down to Egypt to look for food. And Joseph, you can read about this in Genesis 42, but Joseph, you know, has a number of encounters with his brothers, but we see the most revealing encounter in Genesis chapter 45. So that's where we're going to read about Joseph. It says this. And my first question to you, are you convinced God is big enough for you to forgive? Okay, so remember, if you want to experience the goodness of God, you need to understand forgiveness is a big part of that. So in Genesis 45:1, it says, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, have everyone go out from me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. So this first thing that we see about Joseph is that he kept the family sin, that his family sold him out, very private. And he knew that God is big enough. He knew that the press, you might say, would eventually figure all this out. I mean, obviously, it's recorded here in Genesis, so somehow he got figured out. And so he knew God was big enough to take care of every injustice that he had. And this brought the goodness of God upon him. Look at this. Are you convinced that God is bigger than your emotions? So Joseph wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard of it and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. So this is when he's making himself known to his brothers. Joseph has some real emotions that are taking place right here, and he is just letting it all out. Like, I'm sure he wanted to say, you don't have a clue what you did to me. You know, you sold me into slavery, then I got falsely accused, then I got incarcerated, then I got forgotten, and then I became the ruler. Like, this put a whole bunch of stuff of injustice into my life. But even though he had some great big emotions, he knew God was bigger than his emotions. Are you convinced of this? If you want to see the goodness of God, be convinced that God is bigger than your emotions. Number three, are you convinced that drawing others closer is a sign of forgiveness? Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Look at that. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. I think this is powerful. Joseph speaks truth in love to his brothers. I am Joseph, your brother. Is my father still alive? He asks about his father's condition right off the bat. But this causes dismay in his brothers. They're like, oh man, holy guacamole, I don't know about this. Like, this is the guy we sold out. And so we see that Joseph says this next. Then Joseph said, please come closer to me. Now, he didn't put up his fists and say, please come closer to me so I can punch your lights out. he put out his hands. He said, come closer to me. And they came closer. So whatever he did, his body language, whatever it might be, drew his brothers closer to him. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Do you notice that Joseph never coddles or lies? He doesn't. The goodness of God is based upon truth. Are you convinced you don't need temporal justice to forgive? Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. See how truthful he is? For God sent me before you to preserve life. He knew he had both the temporal, immediate understanding of what had taken place. His family sold him out. And he's so concerned about their emotional condition. He says, I don't want you to be grieved or angry with yourself. And then he says, God has an eternal plan to preserve life. Are you able, through the blood of Jesus Christ, not in yourself, but because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, are you able to forgive like this? Are you convinced that God is greater than all of your injustice? He says, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. He says, we got a ways to go, guys. There's 7 years of plentiful, 7 years of famine, and we got about 5 more years of famine to go. Are you convinced an eternal perspective will change the way you see your circumstances? He goes on in verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's perspective changed. What if you didn't look to that injustice with bitterness, resentment, and self-righteousness, but instead you looked at it and said, you know what, God's got an eternal plan in this. And this eternal plan may not be as big as Joseph to save a remnant of God's people, but it's still a big plan. God wants to use you as a testimony for him. God will provide for you the grace to forgive. He goes on, verse 9, hurry and go up to the father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have will be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. So are you convinced God will provide the grace that you need, the tangible things that you need to forgive in this moment, that God is greater than all of the injustices that you may have experienced? Are you convinced that loving your brother is the key to forgiveness? Now you must tell my father of all the splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them, and afterwards his brothers talked with him. See, Joseph had a great big, he was fully convinced that God had a plan in this. Are you convinced that God will give you favor? Now, when the news was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beast and go to the land of Canaan and take your father and your household and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now, you are ordered, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Do not concern yourselves with your goods, for the best of all of Egypt is yours. Did you notice this? Did you notice what had just happened there? Immigration just happened there. Legal immigration. Pharaoh invited Israel, the nation of Israel in essence, Jacob and his family, in. Are you convinced that God will provide? Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to his command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. To his father he sent as follows: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and his 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and sustenance for his father on the journey. Think about that for a moment. You don't need justice now. So he sent his brother away, and as they departed, he said to them, "Do not quarrel on the journey." Here's Joseph, the one who was sold out by his family, falsely incarcerated, forgotten by friends. I mean, just so many things that happened, injustice in his life. And he doesn't want them to quarrel all the way. Then they went up from Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob, which would later be called Israel. And they told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive, and indeed he is ruler over all the land of Egypt." But he, Jacob, was stunned, for he did not believe them. And when they told him all the words of Joseph, then he had spoken to them. And when he saw the wagons and Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob was revived. See the goodness of God? How Joseph's forgiveness spread and spread and spread. Then Israel said, "It is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." So they have this great reunion, and Joseph actually takes care of them for a lot of years. The goodness of God is all around them. Yet, after Jacob dies, or Israel, his name is eventually changed to Israel, the brothers get a little bit concerned whether Joseph bears a grudge. And so in Genesis chapter 50, you can go over there and read it, verse 17, they make up a lie and they say, "Hey, your father said that you're to take care of us." And Joseph knows that this is a lie. He already gave them a promise and proved himself, I think, for 10, 12 years that he was going to take care of them. So then Joseph said this: "Please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sins." This is the lie. "For they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgressions of your servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept with them when they spoke to him. Because he wept, he knew that his father hadn't said this. And he'd already promised to take care of him. Then the brothers also came and fell down. "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said this: "Do not be afraid. For am I in God's place?" This question in Genesis 50, verse 19, is the key to seeing the goodness of God. Never place yourself in God's place. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. He sits on the throne of your heart. Let him be there. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." He said, "Listen, you meant it for evil." He's always honest. Are you noticing the pattern here? But he has an eternal perspective. "So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So Joseph comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So I just look at this and say, God works all things for good to those who love God and who are called to his according to his purpose. And I'm thinking about this. I got to be convinced and the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So what's our public square application today? Are you convinced God has a plan for your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And I do pray that as we go throughout our day, that you will speak to us in ways that just we can't even fathom. God, if our family has sold us out, give us the story of Joseph. If our employer has falsely accused us, please give us the mind of Joseph. If our friends have forgotten us, God, please give us the mind of Joseph. God, we want an eternal perspective. We want to be surrendered to you. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.